This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show. It's time for fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Hooray.
Fun stuff. Yay.
So fun stuff number one. We've been talking about this for a while, but we just want to make sure everyone hears about it because it looks like it's going to be such a good conference. The Southern California Christian Writers Conference. Karen and I are both going to be there. It's June 22nd through 24th in La Mirada, California. And you guys should check out like their website, check out their Facebook page and stuff because they have been running different kinds of specials. So it's great to just check in with them, maybe follow them on Facebook or the Twitter or something. So you can find them at their website, SoCalCWC.com. Go there and check it out.
Come and join us. And now here's the show.
Welcome, friends. We are excited to bring you part 2 of our series, Snares in the Deep. So in part 1, we talked about in episode 45, the first of the snares, and that was resentment. And I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. While resentment can build feelings of anger and frustration, this week's snare is different. It can actually suck all your feelings away and leave you in a wasteland, empty, starving, hopeless.
And that, my friends, is the snare that we're focusing on today, hopelessness. You know, the fruit of hopelessness can be so dangerous. It can lead you to such things as just flat out giving up. How often have we said it? I quit. I'm done. I am so done with this. I give up. Nothing will ever change no matter what I do. The trouble with that is who's making the decision? You or God?
The fruit of hopelessness can also be isolation, where you're sitting there thinking, no one can help, no one cares, I'm alone. And the problem with isolation is that it makes you vulnerable and more vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. So then pretty soon you're thinking, I'm cursed, everyone is against me, and then I'm doubting God's goodness. And these are all lies, okay?
Right.
No decision can be fruitful when it's based on lies.
Hopelessness can lead you to a soul-deep depression, which leads you to despair, which leads you to the sense that life just isn't worth living anymore. I know we don't like to talk about these things in the church. We don't like to talk about the fact that believers can come to that place of feeling as though life here just isn't worth it anymore. But there are times when we get so focused on what we've lost or what we don't have that we can't see what we do have. We can't see the gain through Christ in what we are experiencing in this world. We get this sense that we've lost everything that matters and become so deep that it leads us to sometimes some people are led to suicide. Before it ever gets that hopeless, friends, let's talk about how to avoid the snare of hopelessness.
So the first thing would be to keep your hope centered in the right place, on God. Psalm 25:4-5 says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. See, we're not to hope in things or people or circumstances.
Just in God. And he also says in Psalm 137, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. It overflows. God isn't cheap. He isn't stingy in what he gives you. You can hope in him because of his love for you. Also, ground yourself in the reality of God's goodness. Look to Scripture to tell you who God really is when you're starting to get that dark feeling and that hopelessness. Go to Psalms 145, 5 through 10, and listen. Listen to these words. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. When you get those dark feelings and those dark voices are whispering to you, open your mouth and start praising.
Another thing that we can do to help us avoid the snare of hopelessness is to understand that it's coming, okay? It's coming, and be prepared. The deep is just life. It's not necessarily a punishment. Jesus experienced the deep to the point of sweating blood. It's not a declaration of your value or your lack thereof. It just is. John 16:33, Jesus tells us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you're not alone. We're all going to go through challenges, and we're all going to slide toward that hopelessness. That's okay. We just need to know, be prepared, understand it's part of life.
And then focus on the things that you have rather than what you've lost or what you don't have. Start looking now in this very moment for the things that give you hope, purpose, to spend time every day doing this, even if it's only for a moment. Of course, look at Scripture, but look beyond that too. Look for it in the immediate, in the physical world around you. Look at children and their joy in the moment. Choose to be joyful in the moment. I don't know about you guys, but when I listen to music, it gives me a sense of hope, the passion that comes through in music, nature. When I sit outside and I watch the birds who come to the feeders, all of that reminds me of God's presence and the renewal. Spring always comes, always. Rebirth and renewal come.
I love that, because we're looking at things that we can see, but the basis of all those things are unseen. And I think that's another thing we can do to avoid this snare. Live with that possibility of the unseen and the awesome possibility that God is. One of my personal definitions of hope is the unswerving belief in future possibilities. And God is infinite, boundless. So he provides us with infinite hope, infinite possibility. He can do things that we can't see coming. And that's a reason for us to hope and to focus on those unseen. Do you guys remember the story in 2 Kings? It's in chapter 6. And there's this Aramean army that keeps trying to attack Israel. But Elisha is a prophet, and he keeps telling the king of Israel what the Arameans are going to do. So all of the troops are just like, why can't we figure that, you know, how come we can't ever, none of our ambushes work? Why can't this happen? And they realize it's because of Elisha. And so now they're all after Elisha, and all these troops, this huge amount of troops and horses and chariots, they come and surround this one city that Elisha's in. And Elisha's servant, you know, kind of wakes up this day and sees this massive army, and he's panicked, and there doesn't look like there is any hope. And he's just like, you know, what are we going to do? This is what he can see with his eyes. And Elisha says, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." And Elisha prays, and the servant's eyes are opened because God opens them. So then he sees in the hillside that it's filled with horses and chariots of fire. So he gets his eyes opened to what's unseen. But it cracks me up, because there's never actually even a battle. Because then Elisha prays for God to blind the eyes of the Arameans. So they think they're at the wrong city. And so he's like, hey, I'll lead you to the right place. And he actually leads them into the city of Samaria, where they're completely trapped. You know, so they lose. The bottom line is all this is, yes, we need to focus on the good things we can see, exactly like what Karen was saying. But we also need to be asking God daily to help us focus on the things unseen, those eternal things that only He has for us.
That's really great. I love that. And the next thing that you can do to avoid the snare of hopelessness is to create a list of affirmations of hope, things that speak to you. Find scriptures that speak to you and then create a truth phrase from them. For example, with God, all things are possible. That's the scripture. And you can come in with the truth phrase, my feelings don't change that truth. My feelings don't change that. The enemy is a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. And your truth phrase, I will not be devoured. Mm-hmm. The other scripture, God cares. Simply that, God cares. He loves me for me. Look at those things. Look at the scriptures and find how you can speak a truth phrase to match it, to remind yourself of God's presence. Another possibility is Joshua 1:9, where he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. And the truth phrase for that, I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. I am not alone. Psalms 34:17-18 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in the spirit. And the truth phrase, God has promised to save me. God is near to me when I'm brokenhearted. God will save me.
I love those. Okay, so we know, though, that we're probably going to be ensnared maybe sometimes. Let's talk about how to escape that snare if you're feeling like you're caught in it. And again, as we talked about last time, the first thing to do is acknowledge it. It's right. A feeling. It's nothing more. And the enemy, we talked about being prone to lies, and the enemy is doing everything he can to convince you that this hopelessness is reality, but it is not.
The next thing to do is to reprogram the self-talk. We all do it. Every time we start to say how nothing's going to change, no matter what we do, you need to stop. Well, if you start saying how you're cursed, you need to stop. Whatever the lie is, combat it with truth. Use those affirmation phrases in the scriptures. Repeat them out loud, even if you don't feel them. It's not about feeling the truth. It's about speaking truth until you do feel it.
And realize that God is the one who's going to make you able to do that. Psalm 119, 147 is one of my favorite things to pray. It says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. You can cry out to him every morning, every time you're in this place. And then you put your hope in him, in his truth. His word is truth. And that's where our hope needs to be, not in us, but in truth.
So when you get ensnared, because it's probably going to happen at some point, when you get entangled in that hopelessness, in that sense that nothing is ever going to change, you can never accomplish what God wants you to, quit. A few weeks ago, we had a guest, Alton Gansky, and he said, it's okay to quit. Just don't stay quit. Don't quit for good. Maybe you need to walk away from whatever is causing that hopelessness. Even if it's only for a day, take a break, remove yourself, give yourself permission to quit, but don't stay there. Remember, you need to move. You need to progress to move forward. So after you quit, go to God and say, do I need to start again? Should I start again? Or ask how he wants to redirect you. So God's purpose for us in the deep is that we learn about ourselves and about him, that we go deeper into him. But there are times when it just feels like too much, like we'll never escape, like we're going to be always in this deep, difficult place. Our feet get ensnared and entangled in these lies that the enemy has planted for us. Remember when it happens, those feelings are just that, they're feelings. Don't make the mistake of letting those feelings wrap themselves around your heart and spirit until you feel there's no hope. Prepare yourself for the day you'll encounter the snare of hopelessness. And if you end up caught in it, remember, There is always hope with God. That is the truth. There is no place too deep, too dark for him to take hold of us and lift us into freedom. Rest in him and his promises and truth, and let those things free you from the devastation of giving in to the lie of hopelessness. There is always hope with God on our side.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.